Okay, we're up to Sif Dalet. First three Sifim were basically the first, the three things that have to be done at Hetzakara, which we've already learned, the Bedika, the Meftachuk, and in Sif Gimel, the wearing of the white, Levishas Halavanim. In Sif Dalet, we get into the 7 days of counting of Shivanikiyim. Just beforehand, there's a question I had, something that troubled me a bit, based on what we learned. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, which is the Shayel, the person who asked whether he should marry, he should go out with a girl whose parents did not keep Taras HaMishpacha, a Balas tshuva. Whose parents didn't keep Taras HaMishpacha, being that Chazal talk about such a concept of a pogrom, of the child being affected. And Rav Moshe has a tshuva. It's interesting, the style. Also, there are numerous Gedolim who write all the same thing, that if you see that somebody has proper midas, that there should be no concern of pogrom. Because the entire concern that Chazal mentioned regarding someone who doesn't keep Taras HaMishpacha, regarding their children, is that it affects the midas of the child, and that for that reason, in such a case, a person need not be concerned. However, Rav Moshe writes one more thing in that letter, which is not Rav Moshe's style at all, but he writes it, that if you see that there's somebody whose parents didn't keep Taras HaMishpacha, and you see the child has midas, and Lamaisa, it says, Chazal say that there's a pagam, there's a, you know, pogrom, that there's a sermon in certain midas. So it's likely that month that the mother became pregnant with that child, that she somehow was yaitza mikvah. She didn't go to the mikvah, but maybe she went swimming in a lake in a way that she's wearing a bathing suit, but maybe it's only miyutai, certainly nowadays with the bathing suits. And it's not, it doesn't have a din chatzitza, so maybe there was at least a good tefillah min ha-Torah, and that's what a person should assume. That's what a person has a right to assume. That's what a Moshe writes. That's fine, except we learned last week that hefsektara is deraisa. Chabad Das says that the one bedika, at least to make hefsektara bedika, that's min ha-Torah. So that's stretching it a bit. Says she made a hefsektara. So maybe she used tampons anyway, and so it's possible that she had a tampon in from Matzah, but not a real bedika, not a true wiping, just a tampon that's in from water. We will see today, later today, a raya. I mentioned to you last week that a bedika, a tampon's not good for a bedika. It requires wiping, as we'll see. But we'll have a raya that when a tampon is left in for a while, that b'diyed is at least a shita that the kitzur shulchan aruch holds that it's a good enough as a bedika. So maybe that's what Ramesh means, or maybe she just checked out of curiosity. Right, my own pesuah.
Yeah, but it might be the type of a chazok who is found anyway. It's not going to be always my own pesuah. So someone who doesn't make
these are all arguments against what the Chabad Das is saying. The Chabad Das Lamaisa says that it's a deraisa. They will see maybe an explanation. Right, so you can argue. Maybe Rav Moshe argues with the Chavis Das.
When he goes to the Raisa, can't that mean it's a missing the Raisa for the husband to be with her then? Because he has to be Chayshish for the sister.
But she's not a Nida.
But in Metzias, if she's not a Nida, so he's not ever going to waste the car right now.
It's difficult to be Mechalek. It's Sakina Harifta, you know, yeah. It makes a Chachilik, you need a Makar. I don't know. Could be she never became a Zava. Maybe she was always a Nida. Maybe her whole life she was a Nida and she didn't need. No, not in that time. It's not true. She doesn't need a hefsek at all. Because she can have Shiva Yamei Dan. I don't know that a Bedika is a Chiyuv. Is that true?
How does she know that she's a
Chiyuv? She assumes she doesn't see Dan. She goes to the Mitzvah. If she starts seeing Dan, she'll see Dan. Because there's no this Furim. We're going to learn today. Today we're going to learn the biggest side. I don't think it's so. I don't believe that's so. I don't believe so. Oh, we have to check. We have to look up in the Makar Advarim why we say it's their Isa, but I'm pretty sure it's only in the Zohar. Okay, last week we were up to Piskei Tshuva Gimel, but let's start Sif Dalet because there is a connection. Okay, B'chol Yayim Mezayin Yimei Asfira, Tzriya Chol Yayis Bedekas L'chatchila, Pamayim B'chol Yayim. Ideally, each one of the 7 days of counting, a woman should make two bedikas a day, Echas Shachris, Ve'achas Samach L'Bein Hashmashis. One in the morning, and one close to Bein Hashmashis. Many women, somehow out of habit, fall into a mistake, that one in the morning and one at night. It's not true. I mean, now we change the clock and sunset is earlier. The second bedika of the Shiva Nikiyim has to be by day. It has to be before sunset. So that's the second bedika. Now, that's the chatchila, two a day. What's the minimum, b'di'evet? If she only made one bedika the entire 7 days, Laishna Bodka Biyam Rishin Shel Shiva Ibiyam Shvi Ibechad Meho Emtsoim. It doesn't matter which of the 7 days. She made one Badika Ma'acha Shabatka Biyam Shakaidam Ashvi Umatsa Tahira Alula. As long as she made one Badika during the 7 days, Alula, that's good enough.
Besides the Hefsek or
included? Besides the Hefsek Tara. Tara done before the seven begins. And during the seven, you need a minimum, according to this first sheet in the Mechaber, of one Badika. Let's say she didn't make a bedikah at all on the 7 days. Somebody has to explain this. We're going now, the first shita here, by the way, this is a Mishnah. Okay, we're learning three shitas in the Gemara. It's a sugya in Samaches, Samachtes, and Nida. You have three opinions as to how many bedikahs you need. Rabbi Kiva holds you need a bedikah all 7 days. We do a bedikah all 7 days. Things Rav Chanina holds that it's enough the first or the seventh day. Rav Chanina according to one explanation, and Rav Chanina according to Rav holds you need a bedikah of first and seventh day. Okay? So far we've gone that L'chatchili do all 7 days like Rav Akiva. And the second shita, the first shita in the Shulchan Aruch here is that b'di'eved, one of the seven is good enough. Now think for a minute. She does a bedikah only the seventh day, it's fine. If she gets the seventh, she does a bedikah the eighth, she needs six more days. And that needs explanation. Why? Why doesn't it, if it's good enough the seventh, so make a bedikah on the eighth and let that be the seventh day starting from day two. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Why isn't that good enough? So we'll see, Mitzvah Shem, an explanation. But that's the first sheet in the Mechaber, that you need one bedikah in the 7 days. The Yeshayimrim, Shetzorech, Shetivdait, B'yam Risha Mehashiva. Some say that she has to make a bedikah on the first of the seven, ubayayim ashvi, and on the seventh. See, Hashem knows the minimum is day one and day seven. The ein lahakel. The Mechaber says that we should not rely on the first shita, and we have to do a minimum of a bedikah on the first and seventh day. Why did he bring the first shita? So we have a klal gadol in Shulchan Aruch that when a first shita is brought down, it's brought down for a shasat chak. On cases, the cases some of which maybe we'll discuss, where we would rely on the first sheet. But in the usual case, we would require first and seventh together. Ramayed, habedika tiya la'ar hayayim. The bedika should be la'ar hayayim by the light of the sun. V'loy la'ar aner, not by the light of a candle. A candle has a yellowish glow. And obviously if the bedika cloth is clean, there's no need to use any light of the sun. You can see that by the light of the candle. But if there is some color there, and you're not sure what the color is, so one should not rely on a candlelight. You should do it by day. This is chatchila. Today, where we have fluorescent lighting, I think the meaning of the Rabbanim is to rely even by night to check a bedikah by fluorescent light, because it's not a yellow light. So what do we have here? We have this concept of bedikahs during the Shiva Nikiyim. Now let's just do Sifhei and then we'll get to an explanation. Sifhei Batkat Mabiyam Shapaska Melirais. She made a bedikah on the day that she stopped bleeding. Umatza Temeya, and she found that she's still bleeding. And then Batka Lacha Shloisha Dalad Yam. 3-4 days later, she makes her next bedikah. Umatza Tahira. Harizeh Becheskas Temeya Acha Tifsik Betara. So she's Becheskas Temeya until she makes a Hefsik Tara. A woman can never start counting 7 days until she does a Hefsek Tara, Ba'az ma'inel macharasa, and then she starts counting the next day. What's the chiddush in Sefei that we have not yet seen? I don't know.
When you talk about Tammuz, she made that she had a bad bedikah.
She had a bad bedikah.
What if she made no bedikah?
Well, she made no bedikah. It would be the same halacha, we know.
It's not much like that. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. There's no such thing as
tzir,
but every tear is she. I mean, she knows she bled. But it doesn't matter. She knows she bled. So what does it help if she knows she bled 3 days or 3 days plus a bedikah? That's no difference.
She knows she was still bleeding on that day she wanted to
I don't know. The Badei Ashulchan in a footnote, he says maybe the chiddush is that it's even ma'akiv b'di'evet. It wasn't so clear. It was ma'akiv. It said you need it. I'm not sure what the chiddush in Sefei is. B'chara davar pasha. Alright, yeah. I mean, the two bedikas in Sivdal. If you say do two bedikas, one in the morning and one samach lebein hashmashes, it would be, minchakana would certainly be good, which is two and a half hours, but it's shoyz mani, so I'd like to call it two hours. Okay, within the 2 hours before sunset, yeah. Okay. Yeah, why would I think that tar? She didn't make after tara.
You be machmer for the ben tam sheet and that also, so the only really flag.
It's lachatchila. You want to be machmer ben tam. If you're chassidish, you go ben tam's man. Leave me ice tight, so why not? But you're not required to. You can go. I mentioned to you by a drop on, and you can pick. You can either go to Gra or go to ben tam. Okay. There's a concept here which. All right. Let's start with the pesachei tshuva vav. We have to understand what it means. The concept of counting 7 days. So in Pesachei Tshuva Dal is an interesting shloah. Hagoyin Hakadosh Baal Hashloah B'daf Kuf Aleph Hitzrich should be May Sfiras Hanakiyim, and it's a day that a woman is counting 7 days. Timna B'chol Yoyim V'Toyma Hayoyim Yoyim Rishon Aloyim. Right? He said Hayoyim Yoyim Rishon L'Shiv Hanakiyim. The shloah had such a shita that on every one of the 7 days you should count. Torah says Safat Olcha by Svira, and it means you have to count orally. So he says Shlah's custom was that he was mechayev people to count orally each day of the Shiv Nakim, say Hayyim Yayim, etc. The Diksiv is Safra Allah. Ah, the Tuvis Nadi Yehuda Tinyana Chelik Yerudaya Simon Kuf Chav Gimel Chelik Allah. Yerudaya argues the Nadi Yehuda. He has a nice lashon about the Shlah. He paraphrases a lashon in the pasuk. He says, "Oyev mitzvahs, vayispa mitzvahs." Someone who likes mitzvahs doesn't have enough. And the shloah liked mitzvahs, so he had another mitzvah to count shiv nekiyim, and like sorry, like counting svira.
If you don't, you have to count. You should have thought you have to make a bracha too.
A bracha on the counting, just like svira saima, right? But you're not sure you're going to finish the seven. What? Maybe because you're not sure you're going to complete. Is it true if a person's not sure they're going to count? Is it true that they should make a bracha? Is it certain a person should make a bracha?
You're sure every time
you're control, though. It's not your control.
You might forget, but here it's not in your control. Yeah. Okay, by sphere could be different because by sphere is really a separate mitzvah every day, according to most Rishonim. Okay, maybe here also it's separate mitzvah every day. We have seven new mitzvahs, right?
I don't know.
Bracha on, but doesn't say suffer a lot. A bra, no.
No, there's some on that side of the ball, so.
I have some tire. I have. Maybe it's a, I don't know. Okay, I don't know of anybody who has this minig today. I don't know if people count chayshus for the shloah. I've never seen it printed in any of the, the kitzer halachas farim. They don't bring down to the count hayayim yayim. But the question here is, and he goes on to bring other chayokim, but the question here is why, well, what does it mean? I mean, the shloah is right, it says a safra law.
No, that's the tariff. If you don't make a bracha, you don't
count. So maybe make a bracha and count. You're hung up on the bracha. So make a bracha and count. The question here is, what is the definition of a safra law? It doesn't mean count, so what does it mean? It has to mean something. Okay, so that the ikar yisayin in Siv Dal is we have to define what it means to count. And it'll be a big chiddush here in halacha. Now we can turn back to Pesachei Tshuva Gimel, where we see another halacha which is connected to this idea, which I want to introduce. Okay, habadikla. I am b'tshuvas miel tzedakah simisamak gimel. This is known as the chiddush of the tshuva of the miel tzedakah. He's not the only one who says it, but that's the source the Pesachei Tshuva brings. Shakasa. That's a bit of a complicated shaila, so follow carefully. B'isha shematza kesem b'mei libuna. A woman found a stain on her white undergarment, be made levuna during the days of 7 days. So let's say the third day she finds a stain. Ula erev hefsika b'tayra mechadash. So that evening she made a new hefsik tara. She was tummy. She has to start the seven all over. Fine. So far so good. V'lasha sheinis levanim. She put on again the clean white undergarments. Then she meets a friend. So amrula chavarei seha b'yama machras. So she met some friends the next day. She tells them, yeah, I don't know what she told them, but she told them, I stained yesterday. And it's starting all over. So they told her, no. Gama ha-kesem tzricha lahamte mechadosh he-yamin. They said, oh, you stained in the middle of the Shiva Nikim. You can't just start Shiva Nikim again. You need 5 and 7 all over. That's what they told her. Now that's obviously inaccurate. The woman stains during the Shiva Nikim. She just needs a new Shiva Nikim. So she had these good friends who gave her bad advice. Okay? They told her, you're in the middle of Shiva Nikim. And you're staying, you got to start 5 and 7 all over, forget it. So she took off the white undergarment. She wore an undergarment that had been previously stained. They didn't have bleach then to get the blood out. So she had some stained undergarments. It had many stains. And she figured she'll wear it when she's, anyway, she's not counting Shiva Nikim. But she did have a small piece of like we have today the sanitary napkins. She had stuck on a small piece of white cloth. 2 days later, she told her husband. Her husband said, "What are you talking about? You don't need a new 5 days." So 2 days later, she finds out that her friends gave her bad advice. So she had here the following shayla. Let's say, just to make things simple, that on Sunday night she made a hefsek tara. Monday she meets her friends, they tell her no good. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday she thinks everything's off. Thursday she finds out that her friends gave her bad advice. So the question is, could she start a shiva nekiyim from Sunday night when she made the hefsek tara originally? So again, Shalom Rishaylim Nai Shiva Nikim Epsikas Tara Harishin. Why? Ki Emeres Shehi Makeres Haksamim Shebachaluka. She says she can recognize the stains on her undergarment Shehi Mei Tumasa Harishin, that they're old stains. Ulai Chiyach Milin Amra, and as a proof she says Shasin Arnaki Adayin, that the white cloth that was on it was clean. Vilu Nichta Mechada Shehinim Salasina. Certainly, if it would have been a stain, it would have come on that white cloth. So Vihine. This question has three facets to it, three aspects to the question. Harishin, the first one. Im hi rishay lim nais yamim harishay nim asher naflu mitchilas ha-ladaita. Could she count the days that she, in her mind, had given up on? Habeis. Afin nech shavai salitahayrim. Even if you count Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as clean days. Im la shabagadim luch lachim im naim asher ksamim ahayim heinam imay nidasa. Could she rely that her the stains are old stains? It's the second shot. Hagimel, afim, ain't tailim bekach, even if I would normally say you cannot rely that they're old stains, im namin la mashiyai meres, shemekeres aysim betviyas ayin, do we rely on what she says she recognized them, v'gam ayosef la mashasina ratachta inaki, and also maybe it helps the fact that she had this clean piece of cloth there, v'hela, so he packed it. And we have three shilas. He took the shortcut. That she didn't do a bedik. It's okay. She did a bedik on the first day. Otherwise, it would be makkah. Second, yeah, the next day she had done a bedik that morning. Second, third, it's not makkah. So the hella, so he paskin, lin yisafik harishin, me'acha shechzika atzma b'tmeya. Since in her mind, she had defined herself as a woman who's tameh, who can't count shev nekiyim, ain la lispar oisay yamin. So Tuesday, Wednesday fall away. You can't count those days. So he took a shortcut. Says these days don't count anyway. She gave up. Her friends told her that these days don't count. She assumed that they don't count. So finished. She's stuck. She can't count. And we have to understand why. But if she in her mind had not counted herself as Tameh, considered herself Tameh, then even Shemakeres Haksamim B'tfiyas Ayin, were it not for that, we would rely on the fact that she recognizes the Ksamim, Shemi Meini Dasa. Vafim Eilab B'tfiyas Ayin, Gamkein Olula, Machmasai Chochad, Alasina Bar Lashkuche, and also the fact that the sinar, even if she wouldn't recognize it, she could rely on the fact that this piece of cloth was there. So now he goes into this aspect. But what's his chiddush? His chiddush is this first thing. That when a woman gives up on days of Nikiyim, that they don't count. Okay? Why? Why should this be? So there are two ways of understanding this, that a person could understand this. Well, why a day that she gives up on, why doesn't it count? Well, one way to understand is, well, her friends told her Monday, and Monday doesn't count. So it's possible that Monday afternoon she stayed, when she urinated, she stained, or she stained, or she checked herself and had a stain, or she had a hargasha. But being that she thought she was tamei, it didn't register. She thought she's tamei anyway. So one way of understanding this is that maybe during those days she had dam and she wasn't conscious of the fact that it matters. I think that's sort of an easy way to understand this. Rav Kohn in the Badei HaShulchan explains, and he shows from the Imre Yashir, that that's not an accurate explanation of this. That's not the pshat. And he brings a second pshat, which says in the Imre Yashir, and the pshat is really something which, as I'll show you, is the basic nekuda, the basic point, is a point which Rav Moshe deals with at length in Chelek Beis HaMinayin, and others earlier really deal with. It's a definition of the Safra law, of counting Shiva Nikiyim. We saw the Shlosh says you have to orally count. What does it mean you have to count Shiva Nikiyim? So the way Rav Moshe explains it, and this is all the same point, is the idea of counting is she has to have days on which she knows she's tar. A day, she has to count 7 days. It's not enough that the 7 days pass. She has to have 7 days of Tahira, which she's counting, which she's considering days of Tahira. If she's not considering them days of Tahira, then it doesn't count. Now, he has a shah in the Har Tzvi about a kala who didn't get around to learning the halachas till within the last week before her wedding. But she knew she was clean. She finds out 3 days before the wedding she needs Shiva Nikiyim. She says she was just nervous the last few days. She was doing bedikas anyway. She was checking herself. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says it's not good. Even though she knows she was clean, but she wasn't counting Shiva Nikiyim. There was no conscious counting of Shiva Nikiyim. We don't need an oral counting. But you need some type of a counting of Shiva Nikiyim. Days in which she's considering them Shiva Nikiyim. Now, the way Rav Moshe explains the sugya in Masechtas Nida, Rav Akiva, Rav Hanina are arguing what are the guidelines of the Safra law. Rav Akiva says you have to do a bedika every day. Rav Moshe explains, this is in the Kuda Rav Moshe has in many areas in the Igros Moshe, that there's a difference between a chazaka, let's say in our case, a chazaka, a woman's clean, she stopped bleeding, she made apsikara, she's becheskas, she's not bleeding, and a yediya, a knowledge, that the woman makes a bedika, she knows the fact that there's no blood. It's not a chazaka. Chazaka is an assumption. Yediyah is an actual knowledge that something happened. Okay, this is Rav Moshe that takes this in many areas in halacha, where he draws a distinction between chazaka and yediyah. There's a nice makar from a Gemara in Ksubis, if you remember the names. Was it Rav? Rava was sitting in Din, and somebody came to Bezdin, and they came into Bezdin, and someone was going to swear. The way that the entire worked out, someone was going to swear. So I think it was Rav Papa whispered to Rava, don't let this guy swear. He's a liar. He's a crook. So Rava told Rav Papa, you're one aide. I don't count you. You let him swear. Later, someone else came to swear. What? There's even Lashon Hara, right? Later, Rava is sitting in the Taira, and someone has to swear, and his wife whispers to him, don't let this guy swear, he's a crook, he's a liar. So Rava says, so it's Mahapach Hashua. He doesn't let the guy swear. What? I think it was Rava's own wife. So the Kusar Ramesha says, what's trying to Gemara? And he said, because of Shalom Bayis, he listened to his wife, right? Listen to the other one. So Ramesha explains, this little guy, this is a true, was written yet in Russia. He explains that when Rava trusted Rav Papa, that was the Chazaka. Rav Papa is a trustworthy person. All right, he's not more than 180, he doesn't believe him. Rava with his wife, there was a yediyah. He knew her. He knew that she doesn't lie. And he knew that if she said something, it was a yediyah. A yediyah is different than going basa chazak. That's Ramesh's Nakuda. which you don't like. Rav Moshe uses it in Russia, and it's a strange twist of history. Rav Moshe was writing this in the 1920s, where he had the question of an elderly from a Yid, whose children became communists. They were not from. He got old, he became infirmed, and he had to live with them in the same house. And they were cooking for him. And they bought separate pots for kosher for him. And he asked Rav Moshe if he could trust them for kashrus, they're not from people. So Rav Moshe then paskin, he said to only rely on this b'shas adchak. He says, if you have a yediyah, and the shaila was, they have kibbutz av, and they he trusts them that they would only buy for him kosher and keep the kosher separate, but can they be trusted? So he says, at chazaka, we don't believe a mumer. But if you have a yediyah that you're trustworthy, so Rav Moshe says that you can rely on them. A strange twist. This tshuva was shown to me the first time because I had the shiloh with some Russians where the children are from and the parents aren't from, and the children are asking, can they rely on their parents where they trust their parents? That's a strange twist. I mean, this is it's a lifetime later. It's 50 years later, 70 years later. And the shiloh is the other way.
In your shiloh, you had a much stronger base. As So you could trust your parents, but that doesn't apply.
A mummer. Okay. All right. I don't know. I don't want to get sidetracked into that. Okay. Ramesh's point here is that Rabbi Kiva is that the Shiva Nikiyim need a yediyah, not enough a chazaka. It has to be the yediyah of Tahira. And he says Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Hanina, and the third sheet, Rav's explanation of Rabbi Hanina, they're explaining what are the guidelines of yediyah. Rabbi Kiva holds you have to know every day that there was a moment of Tahira with the Bedikah. And Rabbi Hanina says it's enough once in the Shiva Nikiyim that there's a yediyah. And Rav says you need once in the beginning, once at the end. So there's a machlokes what the guidelines of yediyah is, but that is the definition of Svira, of Safrala, that you have to have days that you know. Now this explains the riddle that we really had in the beginning. Why, if you hold one, is enough. One day, any one day is enough. She goes 7 days, she doesn't do a bedika. And day eight, she does a bedika. Why isn't day eight good enough with the previous 6 days? The answer is it's not, because what was her counting? Her counting was these 7 days. This block of 7 days had no yediya. So the mail of that block falls away. If consciously she had counted starting from day two as day one, in Achinami, it would be good. There has to be a conscious counting. That's the point here. That there has to be some level of conscious counting. And that's the idea that the Bedikah requires.
Okay. The Bedikah law for Tumma was on the first day, the same day, she had a deal, she spoke to the human, and later on her husband
brings good point. This is the point that the Bavi HaShulchan makes. It's a bit cooler. He makes the following point. Let's say a woman is Miyayit in the Bedikah. First let me explain the Meal Tzedakah. So Bavi HaShulchan explains, this is what the Meal Tzedakah says. You're 3 days, she gave up on counting. Like I said, so Monday morning her friends tell her it's no good, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday she gave up. She wasn't counting those days. There was no conscious counting of days. So that falls away. Those days don't count. So she needs to count Shiva Nikiyim still. So the Bavi HaShulchan brings from Dimri Yashir, let's say on any day she goes, she makes a bedika on one of the Shiva Nikiyim. She tells her husband, this bedika is no good, it's tame. So the husband says, you know, let me ask a shiloh. You know, you never know. Let me ask. And he asks, and it's good. So he says, then that day would count. Even though she was miyayish for part of the day, but all you need is to count part of the day. So if she woke up in the morning counting the day, she was miyayish in the middle of the day, that day counts. And let's say the next day, it's only if the entire day she thought she's tamei. Let's say the next day he asks a shiloh, so the second half of the... She makes a bedika. It's no good. She thinks it's no good. And the husband asks the shiloh, the next day finds out it's good. So that day counts, because that day is the safralah. It's the day that she counted, even though part of the day she thought she's tameh. But it doesn't matter, because the chesaron is not that she thought she's tameh. The chesaron is that she didn't count it as a clean day. That's the gzeiras hakasuv of the safralah. It's not, the Torah doesn't say 7 days have to pass and she goes to the mikvah. No. The safralah shiv nekirim, the lashon of chazal is yimei sefurim b'iman. All the place can use this lashon. Sidrei Tara really talks about this yisayid. What? Then if in those days she was mesupik, you can count mesupik. You can count. If she's mesupik in those days, she figures I'll count mesupik. and it'll be misbara later. But if she thought she's certainly no good, then it doesn't count.
Even if she counted anyway?
Well, what does that mean? It means she thought there's a possibility.
If the husband said, I think the possibility, she said he's crazy. But I'll count anyway because he's definitely stepping down.
Depends how crazy she thinks he is. And if she, you know, it depends.
What if she has a child?
It's hard to define. You're trying to define what she was thinking.
What if she has a child Sunday afternoon and he asks Monday afternoon? And she didn't count the beginning of Monday, but she...
That's okay. Even the end, he says. It's yeah, any part of the day is good.
How do you reconcile this Rav Moshe about the idea with his psak, the guy be the Isha, not from, who says, Mansam she had a tefila?
How do you reconcile that with the idea there's no Safrala? Had to be she wasn't a Zava, just a Nita, like I said before. I don't know. You're right. It's a problem. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
The first derech that we raised was rejected, and maybe if a more instinctive
right. But the possibility exists. Yeah, you see, the question is that Lamaisa, we said it's possible that she bled. Maybe she bled in those days, and it was, and she didn't notice it. Well, you see, Chazaka helps for that. Chazaka really helps. We assume that once she closed up. I mean, if she'll say that she saw stain and she thought she's tummy, she threw it away, it'll be a problem. But we don't have to be chayish for that. That's the point that he makes there. Okay, so this is an important point. Now, Ramesha, you know, sometimes you have kashis. You learn some chazal that sounds so ancient, they don't make sense. And then when you hear and you have kashis, and there's always an explanation. Let me tell you, Ramesha brings down a Bach that seems to us to be totally superstitious and crazy. Now I gave you the explanation first. I should have first told you the Bach. Sounds weird. Once you hear it, it makes sense. Ramesha brings down in the same tshuva, the Bach says, b'shem isha chachama, b'shem a wise lady, he brings that if a woman takes a shower, or takes a bath during the Shiva Nikiyam, and then she has a clear, she does a bedikah and finds something, a clean excretion, so this woman said that she's tummy. Why? It's clear. Because the bath cleaned out the excretion. That's what it seems like. It was blood, and from taking a bath, it turned white. So then the Bach brings this down. It's to b'shem a lady. That she'll be, if right after a bath, she has an excretion, that's why she has to be chayshish etzam. Right? It doesn't make sense, right? So Rav Moshe explains this Bach. This is a Bach anyway that's not brought down in the Pesukim. Rav Moshe says a beautiful explanation. He says, why does the Bach bring a b'shem isha chachama, this smart lady thinks this is true? He says it's something that women believe. It's impossible. Ramesh says it's impossible. Blood doesn't turn white because you wash it. You can wash it all day. It was not going to turn white. But if women believe that it's dam, and she thinks that it's blood, so she's not counting the days anymore. She thinks it's a yom tameh. So she thinks that this is dam and that she's... Now, you can argue if part of the day she was counting, it's good. In Achinam, it would have to be in a situation where she thinks that the following day is no good. But there are situations where a woman thinks it's dam, and she's not counting because of that. Ramesha says, that's Pshat in the Bach. It's not because it's true that it changes colors, but because you need Safrala. The state of mind of the woman has something to do with it, with counting the Shiva Nikiyam.
But this is not only the 7 days. The 7 days,
we have
2 Katan, right?
Yeah. Ramesha also discusses, I saw in the Dark at Shuva, a Shaila, if a woman is allowed to bathe or go swimming during the Shiva Nikiyam. Why? Because if she'll see dam during the Shiva Nikiyam, then it'll be lost in the bathwater. If she bleeds. So Rav Moshe discusses this Shaila, which the Dakar Chuva brings, I think, a Machmir, that held that women could take showers, but they shouldn't bathe during the Shiva Nikiyam. The Rav Moshe, there are many difficulties with this Shita, and I don't believe it's accepted. And Ramesha writes that a woman could bathe. But he explains it based on, partially on what we're talking about. That the idea that we require that a woman has to know she didn't bleed, really she has a chazaka she didn't bleed. Why can't she go swimming? Why can't she take a bath? She has a idea. She knows she didn't bleed. She has a chazaka that she didn't bleed. A idea, she only needs one moment during the day, even like Rabbi Kiva. She just has to know at one moment during the day she does a bedikah, she's clean. So Ramesha says, for that reason, we don't ask her to bathe or to go swimming, even in a way that would otherwise clean her out. It doesn't matter, because we rely on chazaka that she's not tummy. For Safra Law, we need the idea that sometime during the day that she was clean. But that idea, it's enough just for one part of the day. You don't really need that it should be for the entire day.
Why does she need two bdikas each day?
Why does she need two each day? Well, Pash does one for the night and one for the day.
Okay, the why? Night is the end of the day, really.
The morning is the end of the night, and the Benesh Mash is the end of the day.
Why did she miss the days in between? Is it okay? There was no
Yediyah,
and she totally missed it.
So, very much explains that's the Machlaikis. That the Rechanina holds that this Yediyah of 7 days needs a Yediyah. In other words, you can say you need every hour, you can say you need every day, you can say you need every 5 days, you can say you need every 7 days. So Pshat is the Safra has to be a counting of the 7 days. There has to be Yediyah in the 7 days, according to Rav Chanina. The other sheet is the beginning and end, which also makes sense. You make Yediyah in the beginning and the end, so that's considered Yediyah for the 7 days. Okay.
Okay.
The Hefsektari, yeah. Okay, let's turn back to the Pesachei Tshuva. There's another important Pesachei Tshuva here. Pesachei Tshuva Vav. Okay, again, the question of a woman, we're saying that the minimum she needs is day 1 and day 7. Okay, that's what we've defined la halacha as the minimum of the 7 days. There's an interesting, the Pesachei Tshuva Vav discusses what the minimum is. Risha Mea Shiva, I am a Dagul Mirvava. He says, look at the Dagul Mirvava, which happens to be printed on the side of the Gemara of the Shulchan Aruch, but let's see it in the Pesachei Tshuva. Shekasav Dafila Lai Batka B'yem Rishon. Let's say she forgot to make a bedik on the first day. Ubatka be echad mi yamim emtsayim. So let's say she made a bedik on the third and seventh day. Begam be yam eshvi. So the Dagum Rav Chava says, gam asmag moidish alula. Even the Shita of Rav would concede that this is good. That day number 3 and 7 is also good. You only 1 and 7.
But how do you get the
Hefsek? With Hefsek Tara you need it. And then during the 7 you need, he says 3 and 7 is also good. Like you say, she has to have at least a Hefsek Tara besides that. So that's what it says in Dagum Ravava. Vayim b'sifrei tshuvos noida b'Yehuda tinyana chelek yeradeya simen kuf chav ches kasav sham the dafka rishon v'shvi'i bina. Now B'Yehuda says you need dafka the 1st and 7 avlam batka derech marshal b'rishon u'b'shlishi lo mahani ve'ene yechayla litvol b'shvi'i. If she did, let's say, 1 and 3, so she can't be tivel after the 7th. The machakah shuv my batka ad asiri, ein biyada ella asiri. Let's say she did a bedika. You need 1 and 7. She did 1, 3, 10. So that's no good, because you had in between 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You had 6 days without a bedika in between. Right? What is Nabi Yehuda saying? You need 1 and 7. 1 and 7 means 5 days without a bedika in between. It's okay, but 6 days is no good. But if afterwards she makes a bedik on the 9th day, she could be tevel in the evening. The dal yaim rishon mehacha hayabedikas gimel v'tes nechshav rishon v'shvi. That is, has to be that she's entire time conscious of her problem, and she could then accounts the 1st and 7. V'afilu batka b'shmini da'ina shabatka b'rishon b'shlishi b'shmini tevelus b'shmini la'erev umitztaref hashmini im rishon. And the day 1, 3, and 8 could count. There's a chiddush here, 1, 3, and 8. Because when you have 1, 3, and 9, we say forget about the 1, 3, and 9, I like 1 and 7. 1, 3, and 8, you say forget about the 1, then you only have a 2 and 7, which is no good. You need 1 and 7. But the 3 is mitzarif, the 1 and the 9. That's not even the chiddush. So we have here really a machlokes between the Dagum Ravava and the Neid of Yehuda, which is a problem, because the author of the Dagum Ravava is the same author as the Neid of Yehuda, which would indicate that he changed his mind after, no, I guess, which was written later. But the Peskim accept the Pesach of the Neid of Yehuda, that you need a minimum of 1 and 7. And 3 and 7 is not good, or 1 and 3 is not good. Okay? That's why when women are irritated, when women have irritation problems, it's very common. And newlyweds, first of all, women before they have children tend to be, it's more narrow, tend to get irritated more easily. And often, very often, women who have infections of other different types get irritations. A woman with an irritation makes a bedika only 1st and 7th day, a hefsekara, and a 1st and 7th day bedika. And the person should be making on this right away, because irritations get worse when women make bedikas. But the fact is that when a woman makes a bedika 1 and 7, it's a good idea to catch a day in between. Because if she forgets seven, if she did one, if she forgets seven, she's going to have to start all over. If after one, she did any other day, the third, the fourth, she did one other bedika, so even if she misses seven, she'll do on the eighth, and she'll be okay.
One
on the first, one on the seventh. The woman's irritated, that's a bedieved, and a bedieved first. Kol shas hapchak is kedieved dummy, and first, one and seven is enough. A piece of advice, which I've told many, many people, and it works, it's really bodek u'menusa for any type of irritation, is women should use Vaseline. Not at the time of the bedika. They should put in that a woman who has an irritation and has a problem staying. Just like when you have chapped skin in the winter and you put on Vaseline and it heals it, it works well. A woman who has an irritation is afraid to do a bedika. She should put 2-3 times during the day Vaseline, Bisimakan. And naturally, the bedika, you can't make a bedika when there's Vaseline there. You would have to do it early enough that it would dry up by the time you did the bedika. But it heals the irritation, and it really works.
Not on the
bedika. If you can have Vaseline on the bedika, it's going to mess up. Okay, the bedika course, you can't. But, yeah.
Just to reiterate, when you're talking about the Nesafrullah, so again, it's really a negative thing. In other words, assuming she started counting on Sunday, Tuesday she didn't think about it at all. You're still not saying you have to count.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you have to think in your mind the words Hayayim Yom Shlishi. Yeah, but she has to be aware of the fact that these are.
She didn't do anything to negate the fact.
There has to be an awareness, that's all. I don't know if she would sleep for 24 hours, would we say it's no good? Let's say a woman falls asleep before Ben Hashmashes, and she sleeps straight through till after Ben Hashmashes the next day. Is that good for Shivanakiya?
That should be good, because according to what you're saying,
it's not no good, yeah. I don't know about that.
No, I think that you're saying that. You're saying that as long as she doesn't do this is what he's saying that if she had in mind that it didn't count, so that's telling me that she doesn't necessarily have to.
You're
have
saying is that you need a negative.
Right. It's to negate a positive.
Like, yeah, but suffer law, though, is the language of positive. That's a problem.
I am sin, but that's why I'm asking.
I can see to you, you don't need a conscious counting, but there has to be at least a back of the mind awareness. Not sure. I don't know.
So is it the fact
that anybody falls asleep for 24 hours? Yes, somebody else. I don't know.
The woman writes down in her calendar that Monday is number one.
Could she say on Monday that I'm counting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? On Monday.
And then Wednesday...
It seems that each day has to be counted. But there's an awareness. Even, a person is aware of the fact that he has an ear on his head, even though he doesn't think about it most days. But there's an awareness of it.
That means that you're not doing anything negative to take away that awareness. That's
going
to affect what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm asking. Okay. In 1, 3, and 9, yeah. On the eighth day, there was no suffer law.
Yeah. The suffer law is counting... It's not the numbering of the days. She's counting days of Nikiyam. The eighth day, she gave up. She was Miayish. It's a separate discussion, which I was afraid to get into, which she talks about there also.
Which are the 7 days?
She doesn't. The 9 days are the 7 days. Something wrong with 9 days? The minimum amount of time between the Hefzik Tarnadi, that's a good question, a very important question. I believe it's in a Pesachei Tshuva later, but I'll mention it because it's an important thing. There is a discussion in the Paiskim as to whether a bedika at night, bedikas laila, we say minimum, we're talking about the Eved, day one and day seven. What happens if day one she did the bedika by night? It was Bade laila, she did a bedika at night. It was bedikas laila oilala. There's a fair amount of discussion in the Paiskim. And it sounds like a very academic thing. In a minute, I'll tell you, it's very negeya. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch has a sefer called Lechem V'Simla on Hilchas Nida, a very respected and well used sefer. He paskins unequivocally that Bedikas Laila is good. There are others who discuss it. He says in a very strong way that Bedikas Laila is good. And this is negeya in the case of women who have irritation or serious problems. With irritation, with different types of medical procedures that cause bleeding, that's not uterine bleeding, it's not a bleeding that makes her anida. The hardest thing really is a woman who has some type of an outer cervical bleeding or even bleeding in the vagina, how's she going to get Shiva Nikiyam? It's a very strange situation. She does a bedika, finds dam in the Shiva Nikiyam, we say it doesn't matter, because we know you have a maka, it doesn't count as dam. Right? So she can do 10 bedikas and find dam, and we say it's okay, it doesn't count. But she still didn't do a bedika that was clean. She has to get a bedikah that's clean. She needs the minimum, a hefsek tara, and day 1 and 7. So what do we do for such a woman who's stuck? Now, it's time a woman who would have to push it off a day, we're not going to be mekel. But there are situations where women have serious problems, and we have to get a minimum for them. So the first thing is, as I mentioned earlier, there are many paiskim who hold that you can rely on the first sheet in the mechaber, that 1 or 7 is good. Okay? So you get day 1 or day 7. So that's good. The Aruch HaShulchan paskins that way, Ramesha paskins that way, the Beis Shlaima paskins that way, many paiskim paskins that in such a case you make. So we knocked it down. The minimum for normally is a hefsek tara, day 1 and day 7. We knocked it down to just a hefsek tara and 1 or 7. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch wants to knock it down even more. He says a big chiddush. He says that for such a woman, b'di'eved, she had a meich dachuk, she removed it and it's clean. Not only is the meich good for hefsek tara, but it's good for the first bedikah of the Shiva Nikiyah. Big chiddush. Now, she didn't do any wiping inside, that he doesn't address. I guess he feels it was in for a while and the woman moves around. It's just as good as a bedikah that includes wiping. But this is a chiddush of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which you can't paskin to rely on it. It's a case by case. It's only a shasat chak. People have to ask shaylos. But this is a tremendous chiddush. It comes out from this kitzur that a woman with a problem would have to get one good maestachuk, and that's it. That's what she'd be able to rely on. What? And he's off in the mouth. Yeah, okay. Well, he's right there for Amos. Wherever it is. So this is a big chiddush of the Simra. The Pesach Tshuva later will bring down another Yehuda who disagrees. But that your question is, Bedikas Laila good? So there is a Shita that's good. L'chat Kila, you should not rely on Bedikas Laila. You should have a Bedikas Yayim. I'm not sure. You need a space of time. You can't...
Fine, but I'm not sure.
Maybe we'll look up the Night of Yehuda later and we'll see. Okay? That's what the Night of Yehuda argues. Now, let's cover a few more Sifim here before we break, because these are easier Sifim. Sivav. Kal Bedikas Elu, you can tell it's easier when you have a lot of Sifim on one page, right? Kol b'dikas elu, b'en b'dikas hefsetara, b'en b'dikas kol shiva, tzricha liyais bebeged pishtan, lavan yashan, an old piece of cloth, even if it's pishtan, even if it's not cotton, oy b'tzemer gefen, all with cotton, oy b'tzemer lavan naki v'rach, or with soft wool. Now, the b'dikas should be with something soft. Very often the woman runs out of b'dikas cloths. You can take an old undershirt or old underwear and use that for a b'dikas. You know, people sometimes would think, yeah, for b'dikas I'll use already a new one. The old one is better. When you're ready to make a shmata, that's better. Because when it gets old, it gets softer. It's easier to wipe with. So that's better. But tachnisenu ba'ise makim, she has to put it into ba'ise makim, ba'aymek l'churim l'stakim, she has to wipe the folds, the ba'ise makim, there are folds inside. Ad makim shashemesh dosh. Now this is a very hard thing. A woman has to insert the bedika cloth, ad makim shashemesh dosh means to the place where during tashmish where the aver reaches. Which would mean that a woman would have to insert her whole finger into Eisei Makom. Most women are not capable of doing that. We'll see in a second. V'tireh im yesh ba shum ma'arad maimis. Should see if there's any redness on the bedikah cloth. V'lo yesh atach niseu ma'at l'kaneach atzma. Not that she should insert it just a little bit and wipe, but she has to stick it in all the way. Im yikshe v'eineh ma'od lach niseh kokach ba'aymet. Let's say it's hard for her to stick it all the way in. Lepachos bedika shel yaim hefsek tara bedika shel yaim rishon mi'ashiva tiyan ad makim shel shemesh dash. At least the hefsek tara and the bedika of the first day of the seventh should be done to as far as you can. V'mlai osisa kein, the Rama says, bedika shel yaim rishon, if she didn't do it, tase pamachas kein bedika shel yaim. At least one day in the seventh should do a deep bedika. Miu bedieved, v'mlai osisa klein klau, rak shabotkatz ma'yafa b'churin u'bistokin ba'imik heitiv kifi kaicha. But the Eved, she does as best she can do. But the Eved, whatever you could do is good enough. Ramesha writes in one of his Kuntrasin from the MTJ Kuntrasin that Lamat Lamaisa, that we should tell women they should be baidik, they stick in the bedikah cloth until it hurts. Ad v'loy ad v'chlau. Okay? Because once it starts to hurt, it's painful, she doesn't have to stick it in further. For many women, that's not very, very deep. But Ramesh's psaki is that that's the Ramah and that a woman doesn't have to hurt herself to do a bedikah. And this is something, by the way, the Rishayim are troubled by. that the Gemara seems to require ad makam shashemesh dash, and our women are not capable, are not able, I mean, this is already hundreds of years ago, are not able to stick in, to do a bdika that far. You can use, as we said, any type of cloth. That's all it mentions here is cloth. To use a tampon, I told you, is no good. Using a paper towel is, the ones that fall apart, certainly no good. I believe in the Badei Shulchan, he's meikel that b'shasat kaka, a person could use a paper towel. But really, it should be a piece of cloth, something that doesn't fall apart when it gets wet, for a bedika. A person traveling, I mean, you don't need bedika cloths. You go into any, you're traveling, go into any place, buy handkerchiefs, a pack of, even underwear, undershirts, and you use that for a bedika cloth, it's fine. The bedika cloth has to be 3 inches by 3 inches square. You don't have to cut up, as far as I understand. The woman, let's say, runs out of bedika cloth, she wants to use a pair of underwear, you don't have to cut it up. She can use the underwear as it is, and if it's clean, just throw it into the washing machine. Okay, I don't know that it's that there's any problem, any reason to have to cut it up. Naturally, if a woman uses a pair of underwear and does a bedika and finds a stain, the ask a rav, you have to tell the rav it was a bedika. He'll assume it's on underwear that it's a stain. A kesem, a stain, is different than a bedika. So you would have to tell that that's a bedika. A blind person, I don't know why it has to say this, she does bedikas and shows it to her friends. Ches hachareshes, a dumb person, would it be at the end? Shemas veina medaberes, who can hear and not speak. Aisha medaberes veina shemas harian kapikchais. If you could at least speak or hear, so that she has din of a pikach. She has a din of a normal person for all purposes. Avolam eina shemas veina medaberes. But if she can neither speak, she's deaf and dumb. Lechena shaita ashnit fadaita machmas chayli. So she is not, cannot really count shiv nekiyim. Srika pikchais livdai kaisam lukvayla investais. Another woman has to do a bedika for her and count her shiv nekiyim and count her vest, her calendar. They should tell him muteris labalayim. They should be muter to the husbands. Hukvalah and vest harian kashar kol nashim. If they have a set cycle, we don't assume that there's anything wrong with their bodies. Loyachvalah chayshesh mishloshim yaim mishloshim yaim. If not, she counts every 30th day, as any other woman. Ovedekas ayudei pikchais. Important halacha, which is really a non-nageh adapted to chesnida. Women today who are deaf and dumb. So what's the status? So there's a letter I saw, a nice letter from Rav Yashav, where he paskins, he says, Shloisha Sabi, there are already three older Rabbanim, the Divrei Chaim, Arsham, and Beishloimai, who he quotes, Kvar Pasku, that any woman, a man who's deaf and dumb, which the Gemara says, Cheresh Shait of a Cotton, that a Cheresh, you can't count him for minion, can't call him up to an Aliyah. So they paskin that when we say deaf and dumb, it's because the assumption was that a person who was deaf and dumb couldn't communicate, didn't mentally progress. But if you have somebody who can make himself understood to other people, whether verbally or by sign language, a person who can communicate by making themselves understood, that does not have a din of a chereshet of a cotton. And in such a case, they're considered a gadol. I know I had a maisa with a deaf and dumb boy who there was a shaila becoming bar mitzvah, and they took him to Rav Ruderman. The boy himself was from Brooklyn, but the people who worked with him were from Baltimore. They took him to Rav Ruderman, and he spoke, but not audible. Rav Ruderman could not understand what he was saying. But Rav Ruderman asked if his family members understand him, and they did do. And he said, that's enough, that there's no din chayrish. If he can make himself understood, even just the people who are familiar with him, that there is no din chayrish. What?
Just sign would be enough to be.
Sign language would probably be enough too. The one shaila where it comes up is where you have a mitzvah that can be done by others. As the Mishnah says, a cheresh should not take truma because they can't say the bracha. So there is a shaila where a mitzvah can be done by other people that better somebody else should do it better than the cheresh. It's a common shaila we happen to have here in shul about an aliyah for a cheresh, where technically it would be preferable to call somebody else up instead of a cheresh. You had a cheresh who was it would technically would be better to call up somebody else who can say the bracha properly, rather than a cheresh who says in a way that's not understood to everybody. But Lamai said you can't blacklist, you know, a cheresh, a person who's today, Baruch Hashem, people are deaf and dumb, are very very involved in society, they do everything, and it's just difficult to blacklist such a person. But this is the one area where somebody who cannot speak is limited in halacha, even though he's obviously mentally fully mature.